Morning. Brian Emmett, retired pastor from Boston, filling in for Jaime this morning. Hope you all are continuing to have a Merry Christmas. I add my welcome to those of you who may be visiting with us this morning. So glad you're here. Grateful for your presence with us on this quiet, just after Christmas, just before New Year's morning. And we're kind of in between sermon series, so when Jaime asked me to fill in for him, he said, choose your own adventure. Always a dangerous gift to give to a retired pastor. But don't worry, I promise to have you home by dinner time tonight. Now, for our family, my wife Kathy is here with me this morning, and for our family, it's been a snow globe Christmas. We love having new things in our house that when our grandkids come to visit, they can look at and pick up and handle and wonder at, and snow globes are a great way to do that. And you probably are familiar with snow globes, right? You turn them upside down and the snow falls, but in our tech age, you can now have the snow fall all by itself. And it can play music while it does that. So we got a couple of these this year, and when the grandkids come to visit, they love to walk through the house, find them all, turn them all on. So that Jingle Bells, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, Frosty the Snowman, whatever, they're all playing at the same time. And they even love kind of the old-fashioned ones that have the wind-up music box on the bottom that you can wind up again and again and again and again. So we've been enjoying kind of having a snow globe Christmas. This is a creche scene. You've got Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the wise men and some shepherds and the little town of Bethlehem. It's all right there, and you can hold it in your hand. Snow globes are a great way of picturing all is calm, all is bright, peace on earth. Away in a manger, Christ the Savior is born. Christmas contained in a clear glass globe. There's just one problem. Christmas cannot be contained. Now, we are approaching the time of year when we start boxing up Christmas. The lights and decorations come down, stored away for next year. The trees and greens make their annual trek to the curb for pickup. As we take care of all the gifts that need to be returned or exchanged, we're no longer hearing Christmas carols. Who decides that you stop hearing Christmas carols on December 25th or December 24th in some cases? Who made that decision? We're turning our attention to New Year's, to various top 10 and best worst lists, to that annual practice of folly, frustration, and futility we call New Year's resolutions. But here's the thing. The one whose arrival we celebrate can't be boxed up. We cannot pack the real Jesus away. He cannot be contained in the tiny globes we create for him. He can't be stored and bubble wrapped and put away for safekeeping until next year. Because Jesus is the uncontainable Christ. He's not limited by space and time. He's not limited by geography and borders or by language, custom, tradition, culture. He doesn't confine his presence and activity just to church structures and church buildings. He doesn't stay in whatever globes or boxes we try to contain him in. He's on the loose. He's on the move. Our uncontainable Christ is alive and active now, today, even in our ordinary everyday lives, even in the world around us. He's still speaking, still working, still on the move for those who have ears to hear, still working for those who have eyes to see and hearts willing to join him in his work. So this morning, I want to invite us to stay or to get into what I'm going to call wonder mode. Wondering, still paying attention, staying open to what's there that you may not have really noticed or appreciated yet. Wonder is one of the ways that keeps us from trying to contain our uncontainable Christ. You know, the most important spiritual battle we're currently facing is the battle for our attention. Something will get our attention. We will give our attention to something. Wonder is one of the ways we learn to keep our attention turned towards the Lord. Do you know that screens are designed to hide as well as to show? What do you do when you screen your phone calls? If you put up a screen in your house, you can't see what's behind the screen, right? You've screened it off. What doesn't this want you to pay attention to wonder about, to fix your eyes on? Oh, it gives us lots of things to fix our eyes on, doesn't it? A steady, endless stream of things to give our attention to. But I want us to stay in wonder mode, not sentimentality, not nostalgia for something in the past, and not resignation that the most wonderful time of year is coming to its inevitable end. We're not trying to artificially prolong the Christmas season or the Christmas spirit. No one wants to be that house that still has its lights and its inflatables up on the 4th of July. So wonder is our capacity to behold what's in front of us. Not just to glance or take a quick look at, but to behold, to see the more in what we're looking at. Wonder is the gateway into awe, into continuing worship, and deepening joy. Wonder gets us asking new and sometimes unsettling questions. Wonder sharpens our spiritual hunger. Wonder can nourish our growth into Christ-likeness. I recently came across an exercise online called, "Can you look at a painting for 10 minutes?" In part, it presented a challenge to our ever-shortening attention spans. Can you look at? Can you be attentive to one thing for just 10 minutes? So they give you a work of art, famous or not famous. You might be familiar with it. You might not be familiar with it. And there's a very gentle timer. You just hit start when you're ready. It gives you a little chime at 5 minutes, and it gives you a little chime at 10 minutes, and it tells you you can bail out at any time. And there's also a link that when you click on that, it will take you to some expert commentary about the paint, whatever painting you're looking at. But you don't want to do that till the end, right? Because you want to see what you see before having somebody tell you what else there is to see. What can you see? What could you behold if we could pay attention for just 10 minutes? I've heard that art students are often assigned to spend several hours, like 3 or 4 hours, just sitting with a painting or another work of art, a sculpture, whatever, but painting for this morning. Imagine that. Not just 10 minutes, but maybe as much as half a day sitting before a painting. Allowing it to come to you. We're so used to explaining and defining and labeling. Got it. Picture of the nativity. Mary, Joseph, couple of kids. What are the kids doing there? Baby Jesus, light shining on baby Jesus. Got it. Move on. What happens when you allow yourself to allow something to come find you that you didn't know was there? Particularly if you're moving too quickly. Inevitably, the art students say, at the end of this 3 or 4 hour assignment, which absolutely had some boring times in it, but at the end, almost all of them say, there was so much more there than I knew at first. So here we are this morning, and here we are every morning, every moment, every day, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of our uncontainable Christ. How much more is there to him than there ever could be in all the paintings about him? Is it possible that Jesus is more than even the greatest works of art can express, more to him than even our best thoughts so far about him have laid hold of? Are we able to sit in the presence and allow the more that is Jesus to come to us? Can we learn to seek the one who is already seeking us? If you're new here, welcome again. Our church has a great ethic of doing. We love to roll up our sleeves, get busy, serve, help. Practical, great stuff. And may God bless and increase that in us all. But doers need to be careful. We can face the danger of turning into human doings instead of human beings. Doing things for God, serving God, can become a way to keep God at arm's length. We become too busy doing for Jesus that we no longer have time to be with Jesus. We need to remember Jesus' warning to those who came to him saying, Master, look, didn't we cast out demons and do all kinds of mighty works in your name? And the master will say to them, Away from me, I never knew you. Jesus told his disciples, I no longer call you servants because servants don't really understand what their master is all about. I don't call you servants. I call you friends. What a difference between knowing and doing commands and being friends with the commander. So stay in wonder mode because what Christmas is about, what it means, isn't over. Christmas isn't just a historical event, it is that. It's an ongoing dynamic in our souls. God is constantly birthing new life, new creation. And wonder is how we keep noticing what God keeps on doing. Our uncontainable Christ outstrips our language, all of our languages. His name is Jesus, Christ, King. High priest, prophet, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the good shepherd, the light of the world, the bread of life, the true vine. He is light from light, God from God, very God of very God. And we've only gotten started. And even when we have finished, when our words run out and our mouths fall silent, we have not yet begun to describe him, our uncontainable Christ. Our uncontainable Christ continues to sow his word everywhere on soils good and bad, hard-packed, thorn-choked. The fisher of men is fishing for you, for your family, neighbors, for everyone, everywhere. The King of Glory is making his home among the littlest, the least, the last, and the lost. He is Alpha and Omega, before the beginning and after the end. Listen to the word of God. Christmas isn't over because here's who arrived at Christmas. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy, the first place. For God was pleased to have all his fullness. God was pleased to have all his fullness. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Can we hear and wonder at that? All that uncontainable language we just listened to. Our uncontainable Christ makes the invisible God visible. Everything that was, everything that is created not just in him and not just through him, but for him. He holds everything together. He has first place in and over everything. In that baby, in the Bethlehem manger, all the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. In him, through him alone, all things are reconciled to God. Jesus is the light of the world, and light is uncontainable. Did you know that everything in the universe is moving away from everything else in the universe at the speed of light? Actually, I read just the other day that it now appears that most of the universe is moving away from us at more than the speed of light. And did you know how fast light goes? 186,000 miles every second. And you know what a light year is? A light year is how far light travels in 1 year. So 186,000 miles a second times 60 seconds in a minute times 60 minutes. You do the math, and it comes out to 6 trillion miles. You know, if you start from Earth, you know how far 6 trillion miles gets you? 1/4 of the way to the nearest star. People who study such things say that, as best we can tell, the known universe, the universe that we can sort of see or access through these amazingly sophisticated pieces of equipment, is 90 billion light years in every direction. And that's just the parts we can currently detect. Some astronomers say the whole universe might be 250 times larger than that. And do you know what Scripture says about all that immensity? 90 billion light years in every direction. And each light year is 6 trillion miles. So 90 billion times 6 trillion is a lot of zeros. And here's what Scripture says. The Lord stoops down to look at the heavens and the earth. The heavens, even the highest heavens, 90 billion light years times 250 times bigger than that, cannot contain him. The Lord stoops down. It's almost like he's a jeweler. Ever been to a jeweler and they've got those little tweezers and, you know, he picks up a diamond, he screws in his little jeweler's loop, that little eye magnifying piece to look at it. All of that immensity. And the Lord has to stoop down to look at it. And it's not that God is just some big giant, big, big, big. It's that God is uncontainable. The Son of God, infinite, eternal, unbounded, unconstrained, uncontainable. This is the one who humbled himself, emptied himself, took upon himself the fullness of our humanity, stooping down not merely to temporarily view or visit the heavens and the earth, but to redeem and reconcile to himself the heavens, the earth, the world, and all who dwell therein. He assumed our flesh not as a temporary disguise or a costume to be discarded, but rather that our flesh might partake in his divinity. Let's keep listening to Paul. God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. What does you, fully mature in Christ, look like? Yeah, we may need to wait till kingdom come to really see that, but has God started that process in our lives already? Yeah. If you're a Christ follower, you are in the process of God bringing you, singular, along with y'all, to full maturity in Christ. And Paul says it's a mystery. We need to stay in wonder mode because wonder is the way we open ourselves to God's mysteries. Now, mystery in the New Testament doesn't mean a crime or a puzzle to be solved. It's not a hard question to which we suddenly come upon the right answer or a problem that we have to discover the solution to. Mystery is a reality to be entered. Mystery means that however much we have wondered and thought about and worshiped our uncontainable Christ, we haven't even begun to wonder and think and worship. Mystery is about the more that is always before us, always around us, if only we develop eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that love and desire. And this mystery, Paul says, is Christ in you. Our uncontainable Christ comes to make his home in you, in me, in us, in people, in anyone and everyone who will say yes to him. Jesus, in whom all the fullness of God resides, resides in you. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, the one who is before all things, after all things, the one who in all things holds the supremacy, has come to make his home in you. Jesus became what we are so he could bring us into all that he is. So Christmas isn't over. You're a manger. Into our littleness, the uncontainable Christ pours his immensity. Into our ordinariness, he pours his extraordinariness. Into ourselves, he pours himself. Into our darkness, his light. Into our sin, his forgiveness. Into our death, his life, abundant, overflowing, and eternal. Into our fear, our doubt, our discouragement, and despair, he pours himself, our hope of glory. What does it look like to be a manger? How could we do that? A manger is basically an open box. Our problem is we keep cramming and jamming things into the box. Stuff, hurry, busyness, schedules, to-do lists, deadlines, demands, commands, compulsions, obsessions. Just as there was no room in Bethlehem, it is possible that there can be no room in the manger that is our souls. So maybe take some time in the days and weeks ahead to do some manger management. What is it that keeps the manger box of your soul preoccupied? That's a great word, preoccupied. Our souls were designed for the Lord, but they have become occupied in advance, preoccupied by other things. We've allowed other things to move in ahead of Jesus. Our souls have become too crowded, too full, too confusing and jumbled, too preoccupied with many, many things. So take some time to wonder about what it is that may have preoccupied your soul. And wonder what a less preoccupied you might look like. So the mystery is Christ in you. What it means is also you in Christ. You in Christ, located where Christ is. And where is that? Where is our uncontainable Christ right now? Many ways to talk about that. He's in heaven. He's in each of us. He's kind of everywhere. He's not limited by space and time. But what I want you to think about this morning is where Christ is located, if I can put it that way, is in the love of the Father. How much does the Father love the Son? That's where you're located in Christ. Oh, you say, I'm a sinner. Okay, doesn't change your location in Christ. I make mistakes. I fall short. I don't know if I believe any of this. I have doubts and fears. All true, but not as true as where you are really located in Christ, which is in the love of God. So, this is the purpose of our lives, the goal of our lives, to be in Christ and to have Christ be in us. Our little lives becoming containers for the uncontainable Christ. How much our capacity needs to be increased, our capacity to listen, to obey, to love. How much more of me does Christ desire to fill and transform? This is what life is about. This is the reason behind and the purpose for our trials and temptations, our sufferings and disappointments, our hopes and our fears. Yes, the process won't be done till kingdom come, but it's already underway. Christ in you, you in Christ. So Christmas isn't over. We are each of us a manger, and we are each called to be like Mary. Called into her faithful response to an impossible word. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word, is how she responded to the angel's impossible announcement. Mary allowed the Lord to birth something in her that was vast beyond all measure. And we are invited by the uncontainable Christ to do the same, to open our lives to whatever God wants to make of us and do through us. So make Mary's response your response too. I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me just as you say. I am the Lord's servant. That's about identity. In every situation and circumstance, our core identity is servants of the uncontainable Christ. Yes, we need to be good students, faithful employees and bosses, engaged family members, all the things that we need to do every day, but we need to be those things and do those things as servants of God. And to be servants of Jesus, we need to know Jesus, to know him, not just have some information about him. And be it to me, just as you have said, this is the heart orientation of the servants of God. We're not rushing off to do and do and do, not trying anxiously to fill our time or wearily trying to maintain our overfilled schedules. Before we do, we are to listen. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said. Think of all that comes into your heart and mind every day through your ears and eyes, and take some time every now and again to say, how much of this is really the voice of the Lord? Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. So yes, in the next week or so, the tree needs to come down, the lights and ornaments put away, the snow globes all bubble wrapped so they can safely reappear next year. We're not pretending that the calendar isn't about to change. We're not trying to keep Jesus in the manger, nor are we keeping him safely packed away in the past. We're not to hold on to Christmas, but we are asking the uncontainable Christ of Christmas and of Good Friday and of Easter and of his ascension and of his being seated at the right hand of God and of his promised return, that Christ, to take hold of our lives and make of them whatever he wills. So stay in wonder mode. Be a manger. Be like Mary. Be like these folks all year long. And don't forget, that little baby, he didn't stay little. He conquered sin, death, and hell, and is still conquering them in the lives of his people and the world around us. So let him grow into all his fullness in you. Stay in wonder mode. Stay at the manger. Wonder at all that flowed from it. Stay in awe of the good news of Jesus instead of the excitement and anxiety of the news of the day. Stay with Jesus, still following, still seeking, still asking, still wondering. Start where you are. Start with a minute or two or three or five. But just don't give it 10 minutes. Give it your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you lowered yourself to lift us up. You became one of us and one with us that you might make us one with you. You took upon yourself our human lives that you might take us up into your life. You embraced our death that, conquering death, you might make us fully and truly alive. Please keep our hearts attentive and alert, receptive and responsive, pliable and resolute. Be in us that we might be in you. Amen.